Welcome to our Thriving at the Beach podcast, your reliable source of information and a peek under the tent regarding all of the amazing things taking place in our Grand Strand community. There are so many great things underway here that we believe it's time to start telling our stories. That's exactly what Thriving at the Beach will do. This podcast has been created for all the residents in this great coastal community because we want you to be the first to know things that are coming and get the most accurate and up-to-date details on every initiative. In this podcast, we'll be hearing from the community partners that are busy building a brighter and more vibrant tomorrow. These partners will include the City of Myrtle Beach, Myrtle Beach Downtown Alliance, the Myrtle Beach Regional Economic Development Team, the multiple chambers of commerce, the HTC Aspire Hub Emerge Leadership, key business leaders, assorted community partners, and many more. It's our hope that you'll catch the momentum of how we are and will be thriving at the beach. I'm Peggy Masterson, and I'll be your host for Thriving at the Beach. I'm the director of the Partnership Grand Strand Foundation, and in case you haven't heard about us, we are the nonprofit foundation that's an extension of the Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce. We were created by local business leaders to serve local residents and local businesses across all of the 14 communities that make up our beautiful coastal area. Our work allows us the opportunity, a very unique opportunity, to collaborate and support all of the organizations that are busy building a better tomorrow. This provides us a wonderful opportunity to collect all this exciting information and share it with each of you. I could not be more excited to be able to facilitate a way for these experts to tell their stories and share their exciting news with you. So get ready, get psyched to get a peek under the tent on projects, businesses, and opportunities coming to our area. I can't wait to watch you catch the momentum and then share it with others. Let's dive right in. Welcome to our Thriving at the Beach podcast, where we are showcasing the stories of the people that are driving prosperity across our multiple communities. We created Thriving at the Beach to give listeners like you an opportunity to gain a clearer understanding of the great work that's taking place across our area and to get to know some of the people that are working so hard to drive that progress. We'll talk about initiatives underway, things coming down the pike, and they will all definitely get you excited about the bright future of this area in which we all live, work, and play. I'm Peggy Masterson, your host for this podcast, and could not be more excited to have Jimmy Gray here today as our guest. Jimmy works as the VP of Public Policy for the Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, Jimmy. Thank you for being here.
Peggy, thank you for having me. I feel honored.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And I was wondering if you could tell us just a little bit about what does it mean to be the VP of Public Policy?
Sure. Thank you for the question. And thank you again for having me. So I work here at the Myrtle Beach Area Chamber of Commerce as our Vice President of Public Policy, like you said. Think of that as it's my job to work to represent the business community. At all levels of the government. So I'm the government guy dealing with all the elected and appointed staff at the local government level. So think city council or county council. And then at the state level, we deal with the state, the General Assembly, and as well as the state agencies. And then at the federal level, too, we work with our congressmen, our senators, and some of those federal agencies as well. So it's my job to kind of work to promote pro-business items before those three levels of government. So to try and promote good ideas in those three levels of government, but then unfortunately, what takes up a lot of the time too is beating back bad ideas at those different levels of government.
Well, and I think that's a really important differentiation to make, right? Because progress doesn't come easy, and we can be advocates for pro-business initiatives, but we also have to be aware of the fact that someone like you is fighting in the background for those things that are working against the business growth or the prosperity of the area. So thank you for that.
Well, and you talked about this being focused around prosperity and being focused around the Myrtle Beach area businesses and their prosperity. So much of that is just making sure that those people that are creating that prosperity, those entrepreneurs, those small business owners, is keeping government out of the way. and beating back a lot of those bad ideas. We have a big state, and it's a diverse state, so you see different ideas at the General Assembly that might not necessarily understand the unintended consequences that could happen in a market like ours because of how diverse our state is and how diverse our region is. So it's unique, and frankly, we have so many smart people in this area focused in the space of prosperity. I'm working in the background, like you said, to try and keep government away from them or to have government help them when needed to.
So essentially, you are really our representative from a public perspective, from a government perspective. You're able to tell them what's unique and different and special about Horry County and other surrounding areas.
In a way, yes. I'm the business community's representative at those levels of government, but please do not call me to fix your pothole on your road. I did not run for office. Those are the people that put their names on the ballot. Call those folks to fix your potholes and to complain about traffic on 501 or something like that. They're the ones that signed up to run for office.
Well said. And we promise we won't give everybody your phone number.
Thank you.
And so thank you for that. So part of our goal with this Thrivin podcast, Jimmy, is to also kind of get to know the people like yourself that are working hard behind the scenes. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your background and how you happened to initially get interested in public policy.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. I think my first interest in public policy or government was back during the Obama-Romney race, or no, it was Obama-McCain is what it was.
Oh, wow.
There was a mock debate, and I played one of the candidates in front of the whole school.
Oh, really? That's cool.
So that was a neat experience to be able to study that candidate's proposals and what that candidate believed in, and then debate it publicly. And then at the end of it, all the students, there was actually an election, and the students voted on based off of what we, the mock candidates, proposed, not the real candidates. So that was a fun experience. That was dipping my toes into public policy at first. But then really just, going to school. I went to school at the University of Maryland, which is right outside Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of caught the political bug and the public policy bug being in that area.
That makes sense.
There's so much government and happening in that area. So that's really what first piqued the interest, I would say.
And then from a career progress perspective, you got interested in school. And then where was your first role?
Yeah. So internships were just kind of becoming a really mandatory thing at that time. I spent my first summer, I think when I was at college, I just kind of came home and worked at a restaurant and made some money. But I think it was my second summer in college at the University of Maryland when I realized, all right, I really need to do this internship thing. I was a business major. I didn't really know what business was very big and broad. I didn't really know what to specify in. So I did still enjoy politics and public policy at the time. So I ended up applying for an internship with my local congressman, but in his Washington, D.C. office. So I could live in College Park, Maryland, but then take the metro, the subway into Washington, D.C. to work on Capitol Hill. So that was my first real internship experience. And that's when I really, caught the bug, loved the experience, loved being around all these important decisions that were being made, or what I thought was important at the time. Now,
sure,
when I look back, it's like, that wasn't as important as
at the time. It felt really important.
Felt so important at the time, right? Exactly. So I ended up doing a couple more internships on Capitol Hill throughout college, and then ended up getting a job on Capitol Hill, a full-time job before I had even graduated. So I took some night classes and would work on Capitol Hill during the day for a congressman from Pennsylvania, and just loved it. It was a moderate that I worked for. I tell people when they try and get a sense of where I'm at on the political spectrum, I will never let them know. And this is a good example of that. When I worked for that congressman, I wrote a bill that was signed into law by President Obama.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of cool. But then I also wrote a bill that President Obama vetoed. You can't say that. I think that lends its hand to a true moderate, an equal opportunity offender. So that's how I would classify that.
Well, that two steps forward, one step back. I mean, that's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah.
And that's how progress is made. So interesting. Well, thank you so much for that. And one of the things we always like to ask our guests is, tell us something that maybe most folks might not know about you, Jimmy. Something fun, something that kind of gives us a peek as to who you are and what's important to you in your life.
Well, yeah, I like that question. So something about me that not a lot of people know. I'm an open book, so most people know a lot about me. But I guess I'll share this. I need to exercise in the morning in order to be a level-headed person. So I'm up every day at about 5 a.m. Getting it in.
Good for you.
Because I will not be a nice person if I don't let out that aggression.
I find that hard to believe. But
no, it's true. It's true. That's because I go. If I don't go, if I don't have an outlet to kind of let out that aggression in the morning with lifting weights or getting some exercise in, it changes everything for me. So it's a weird thing, but most people know me as being happy and kind. And all that means
I would agree.
All that means is that I went to the gym this morning.
Well, we need more people to go to the gym then,
yes,
don't we, every
we do.
Morning?
We do, for multiple reasons.
Well, and I know that you have a very young family at home that probably keeps you busy when you're not here working at the chamber.
I do. So I've got a 2.5-year-old son named James and a 1.5-year-old son or daughter named Heidi. I apologize. Got that right. They keep me really busy, and that changed everything in terms of perspective and priorities when I had kids. I used to be able to spend a lot of nights in Columbia or Washington, D.C., entertaining legislators and kind of working to do the night shift with legislators and making sure they understand the Myrtle Beach area impact in those cities. But priorities have changed, so I've needed to change different ways that I can still be influential and still represent the Myrtle Beach area business community, like you said, but do it from Myrtle Beach, because I'm not able to spend as much time in Columbia as I used to. So I enjoy it. It has totally changed my life and perspective. You know this.
Surely. Oh, yeah. So there's nothing like it.
It changes everything. So I told Peggy, I'll tell you a story that or I'll tell the listeners a story that you already know that they might appreciate. So my son's name is James.
And oh, yes.
You used to work with a James as well. And my son's nanny, the nanny's name is Peggy, and your name is Peggy. So one day I get a text from Peggy, who I was thinking this was Peggy Masterson from Partnership Grand Strand, texting me, James just fell asleep. And I thought she was telling me that, you know, our coworker James just fell asleep at his desk. And I didn't realize, it took me 2 seconds to put two and two together, that it was the other Peggy, the nanny Peggy, texting me that my son, my one-year-old at the time son, James, had finally fallen asleep. And that was a good thing that James was asleep. So paying attention to details is very important. And looking at the last names, because I about had a heart attack and was about to go yell at James for sleeping on the job.
Oh, dear. That's an awesome story, honestly. Well, at least James got a good nap, right? That's
yes.
A good thing.
Maybe both of them did.
right. Well, let's shift gears for just a couple minutes, and you might be able to kind of update us a little, Jimmy, on some of the things that are on the top of your radar right now, things that you're focused on that are fueling the prosperity across this great coastal community.
Yeah, absolutely, Peggy. It's been a really, really busy summer leading into what's going to be an incredibly busy and important fall in the Myrtle Beach area. So just a couple things to touch on that the public policy department's really looking at here at the Myrtle Beach Area Chamber. Number one would be this ballot referendum that's going to be on the ballot in November. A lot of people on the news are talking about the November election and who's going to win. I'm not nearly as tuned in or as plugged in on the stuff that you're seeing on the news as it relates to the November election. I'm focused
on presidential election.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm more focused on a different issue that's going to be on the ballot in November, and that's a vote on whether or not to continue a penny sales tax that is currently being collected in Horry County. So currently, when you go to a restaurant and you pay a dollar for an item, that dollar is taxed at one penny. And that one penny goes to the county to help build roads and to help fix our existing roads.
Okay.
That penny has been around since the 1990s. This sales tax has been collected. It's obviously, as our county grows, the budget has grown a lot. So every year, that penny in Horry County generates $120 million per year for roads in Horry County.
Wow. Penny goes a long way.
Penny goes a really long way. So, and whether or not you know about the penny, you've benefited from the penny if you've driven a car in the Myrtle Beach area. Grissom Parkway was built using proceeds from this penny sales tax. International Drive was built using proceeds from the penny. Carolina Forest Boulevard, SC-22, SC-31. You name it, Forest Brook Drive widening, which is getting started. So tons of roads in the area have been constructed using this penny. So in November, what's going to happen is that penny is set to expire. It only has a certain length, and there's a vote on whether or not to continue collecting that penny. This is going to impact our daily lives way more than anything else that's on the ballot in November. Whether or not this penny gets collected, gets continued, will mean whether or not our area is able to handle the growth that we're currently seeing and that we need to be prepared for. You've seen the same articles that I've seen about Horry County. Are they saying that we're still the fastest growing county?
Yep, absolutely.
So we're the fastest growing county in the state. We need to be able to – the roads are already bad. They're going to get worse unless we do something to work for it. So voting yes to continue collecting this penny is paramount in terms of improving roads, reducing congestion, improving public safety. It's truly – we're calling the campaign Fix Horry Roads, and that's exactly what this is all about, is fixing the roads in Horry County.
Pretty straightforward. Good name.
Thank you. Simple works.
So is this referendum complicated? What would be the concern about folks not wanting to support this additional penny? It sounds like it's been around. It's been effective. So history would indicate that it makes sense to continue. Tell me a little bit about what you're concerned about and what you think the listeners might need to know to really kind of get their mind around how this referendum is different.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. So the concern is just that this is way too important for us not to pass and to not vote yes on. It's going to impact not just this generation, but future generations of people that come to Horry County. What is different about this than previous years is that the timeline for the collection of the penny has been extended. So under previous iterations of this penny, the timeline was about 7 years of the collection period. So 7 years, it's about $800 million is what that for the total projects that you can plan with that penny. This penny, if voted yes in November, will last for 25 years. And what that means is that your budget goes from about $800 million, like we were saying, with those other projects, to over $6 billion of road construction in Horry County.
Wow.
Yeah.
So obviously an opportunity to generate more funds because of the additional length in time. But aren't there other benefits as well to having that kind of extended period for the collection agreed to?
That's right. So you have additional funds available, and what that means is that you can do more with them. You can truly fix the existing roads that we have. So there's plans to upgrade Highway 90 for those that drive on Highway 90. That's at the top of the list of this referendum. It's a dangerous road. There's congestion on it. It's a public safety issue. There's funds included to extend 31 into North Carolina. You can go through the whole list of projects. It's on fixoreroads.org.
Oh, okay.
But basically, this referendum touches every part of the county. No matter where you live in Horry County, you're going to see some type of benefit from this, in addition to also increased funding for public transportation for people that don't have cars or that would prefer to use public transportation as a means to get around. Kind of the last selling point on this that I would say in terms of why it's so important is that if we don't do this, what will happen? And that's the fear here. If we don't vote to do this, it will almost automatically mean that property taxes will increase on residents, because we need to, it's just a public safety matter that county council would need to increase property taxes, or the General Assembly would need to allow them to increase property taxes strictly because of the roads and the growth that our area is seeing. So instead of doing that, let's put this on a sales tax, because when it's a sales tax, it's not just residents paying for it. In fact,
true,
66% of the total revenue generated is paid for by visitors. So these visitors are coming to the Myrtle Beach area. They're clogging up our roads. We get sick of staring at their license plates on 501. They should be the ones paying to help fix our roads too. So that's how you capture that revenue, is by voting yes in November on that.
Well, it sure makes sense to me. And I think anybody would be supportive of the fact that whatever we can do to keep our property taxes from having to go up,
exactly,
and keeping a penny that we've been paying anyway, seems to make great sense. So thank you for explaining that to us, Jimmy.
And I think it does tie into your listeners and to the focus of this effort, because you can't have a prosperous environment for small businesses to operate and to recruit small businesses without infrastructure and without roads for employees to get to work, but then also to move goods around the county. It's just not sustainable to have employees, you know, taking an hour to drive 8 miles when for somebody that lives, you know, in Conway to get into Myrtle Beach or vice versa. It's not sustainable to employee recruitment, and it's not sustainable just for business operations. So it's paramount for from a prosperity sake and from an economic development perspective as well.
Yeah, makes great sense. And I give you so much credit for the whole work that gets done on transportation and on infrastructure, because it just takes so long to not only gather the funds, but it's so expensive, from what I've learned, to be able to get some of these roads built and to get other roads repaired. So the fact that we can have a fund that is generating the kind of dollars that we need to keep up with that, I think is an amazing thing. And it is essential to the long-term growth. So thank you for all your work.
You got it. Thank you. I'll be calling you for support as well. I already have. So Partnership Grand Strand has been a wonderful partner as it relates to the effort to make sure that we get the ballot referendum passed in November. Thank you to all the people that have invested to Partnership Grand Strand and your investors, because that funding is really helping this education campaign, because, like we said, it's way too important for us to not touch all these new voters, too, that are new to Horry County, that aren't as familiar with this effort.
Yeah, and we'll be right there to help you any way we can, Jimmy. So more to follow, I'm sure. And you also mentioned that you're heavily involved in creating the priorities for the Myrtle Beach Area Chamber of Commerce, which in turn reflects the general community. Can you tell us a little bit about how you go about creating or identifying what those priorities would be?
Yeah, and Peggy, I think you just said the buzzword for what our theme is going to be this year as it relates to drafting those legislative priorities, and it's the word that I'm looking for is community. Because in the past, that process of crafting our legislative priorities, which is essentially our marching orders for what I'm supposed to go out and advocate for, at the local, state, and federal level. In the past, what that's looked like, that drafting process, has just been kind of me closing the door to my office and focusing on my laptop for a couple hours and coming up with that document and slapping it save as PDF, and then we're good to go. We have completely revamped that process. The goal this year, and we started this a little bit last year, the goal this year will be to establish a set of community legislative priorities, not the chamber's legislative priorities, but the community's legislative priorities.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and it's this idea of strength in numbers, so that when we go to Columbia, legislators aren't hearing, okay, this is what the chamber's priority is, this is what the city's priority is, this is what XYZ company's priority is. If we truly create an inclusive process that brings in all these different stakeholders and view the chamber as the convener in that regard, and ask for feedback from those folks, and then drafting our priorities from that feedback, it's going to allow us to be way more effective in Columbia, because we'll be speaking with one voice. And I think that's super important, because there's so many voices in Columbia. Simplicity and unity are super important. So you'll be seeing myself, other members of our leadership team, going to meet with community leaders, but then not just stopping there. Our public policy coordinator, Jada Hudson, is going to be doing some surveys of our membership, to get their feedback on what items are important to them. What issues did we not include last year that we need to look at this year? Or my favorite, what did we accomplish last year that we can take off the list for this year to make it shorter?
Check the box, yes.
Exactly. Uh-huh. That always feels good to delete a bullet from the legislative priorities list. But you said the buzzword for this year and kind of the theme for this year, and that's community. I think that's super important.
Well, and I think the whole notion of stronger together just makes so much sense. And a unified message in that complex world that exists in Columbia and at the, federal level, when we have one voice, I think it's easier understood. And those folks that are making key decisions really have a good sense of where we're headed and what we want to try to accomplish. So hats off to you and the team for being able to do the diligence to be able to pull all of those entities together and get some consensus about where we want to go next.
Well, listen, it's way easier said than done. So I'm just saying, this is what the process is supposed to look like. I'm sure, in an ideal world, we'll be able to come up with a list of, 6, 8, 10 things that we all agree on, that we're all going to pull in the right direction. We're not going to all agree with everything, that everything is a top priority or needs to be given a certain preferential treatment. But so long as we go through that process, I think it's super important. And then kind of just as important as the priorities themselves is the implementation of those priorities and how we actually go about doing this and advocating together. So making sure that the Myrtle Beach area has a strong presence both in Columbia, Washington, D.C., and then here at City Council and County Council is super important too.
Well, that's awesome. And you're right, I can imagine easier said than done, for sure.
Yes.
The devil's always in the details.
In the details, right.
But, so many good things come out of just having that dialogue and reaching out to people to get their opinions and their point of view. You may not all agree at the end of the day, but everybody's been heard from,
right?
And everybody's had an opportunity to weigh in on what that final priority will be, and they understand why not everything can be a top priority.
Yeah,
right?
I think you're right. It's really an educational process too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because you learn. I'll use the EDC as an example. We met with Sandy Davis and her team on some legislative priority items for them, and based off our conversations with them, we learned a lot about the issues as it relates to warehouse inventory and spec building inventory in Horry County, and how having land, yes, but mainly buildings available for companies to come in and utilize is such a critical tool in the toolbox for them and a good incentive for them. We were so sold by them that we added it to our legislative priorities this year to help try and advocate for some funding for increased spec building inventory for the EDC to utilize. So It's educational because I had no idea that was a thing before we had that meeting.
That's a great example. And you're right. Those spec buildings can make it a whole lot easier for a new company to come in and select us over other communities. So good. Good example. Thank you for that. So as we wind things up, I wanted to kind of get your sense. You're so deeply immersed in kind of the long-term infrastructure and foundational work that has to happen in order for us to become the bright and shining star on the coast that we want to become. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about it. How do you feel about the future here in the Myrtle Beach and the Grand Strand areas?
I think that I'm incredibly optimistic about this area. I think that Myrtle Beach and Horry County, there's no, it didn't just happen by circumstance that we all these people are moving to our area. It certainly was a conscious decision that was made by a lot of the important leaders that came before me to this area that created an environment that was attractive. You know, we took care of our natural resources. We invest in our beaches. We make the Horry County a beautiful place to live and work. But with that said, I do have some concerns about future workforce needs in our area in terms of the demographics that are currently moving to our community. There was an article in the Post and Courier the other day that said that by the year 2042, Horry County is going to see an additional 250,000 people just in the next 20 years or so, whatever that is, less than 20 years.
Wow.
Though that 250,000 people, a lot of them are not going to be joining the workforce.
Sure, they're not in. They're coming here to retire and
that's right.
Relax.
So I have some concerns about making sure that those people that are moving here are still able to, you know, enjoy top-notch service at restaurants, and that our hotels are still able to, you know, receive and collect a lot of that tax revenue for to fund those local operations and that quality of life that we all enjoy. So making sure that we're able to recruit and bring young, smart people to Horry County, and maybe even more importantly, keep the young, smart people that we have here. It's really on my mind a lot, and I think that's kind of a motivating factor a little bit for me, especially now that I have kids myself, and I have no intention of moving here. My wife has a business here, so I mean this is home for the foreseeable future. So I'm very invested in the success of this community, and I have some concerns in regard to that. And I think that the small role that I can play from my position as the vice president of public policy for the Myrtle Beach area chamber is to try and bring back some funding and some resources from Columbia, from Washington, D.C., and kind of create a environment, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's taxes, et cetera, that's going to help in that regard of keeping and attracting more people to the workforce, as opposed to, we're a beautiful retirement destination. That's wonderful. I think that's phenomenal that people work hard their entire lives and get to retire to a beautiful place. But the fact of the matter is, for them to be able to enjoy the quality of life that they're hoping to have in their retirement, we need a workforce here. There's just simply no denying that. So that's on the top of my mind. That's kind of, I think, going to be my long-term focus as it relates to the public policy arena, because I think there's so many themes that fit underneath that broader theme of workforce retention and recruitment.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we can attract as many businesses as we want to as it relates to coming to work here. But if we don't have the workforce to actually work in those businesses, it's all for naught. So your focus on workforce is a worthy focus for sure.
It's good too, because it's not just, there's so many people that understand the importance of this. And I'm talking to somebody right now that spends 95%, maybe 90% of her time focused on this issue as well. So we have wonderful partners like Partnership Grand Strand that work diligently on the workforce issue. There's constantly something going on that you guys are up to in the community. I'm learning about things as they're happening too sometimes. They're just always going, never slowing down, Partnership Grand Strand, but other partners as well. So that, I think, is going to be the long-term focus on our area, and everything kind of fits nicely under that umbrella.
Well, I totally agree. So as we've kind of talked about your role and the work that you are doing to fuel our long-term prosperity, I always like to bring it kind of home to what are some things that individuals that might be listening to this podcast could do today or tomorrow, something, some action they could take, some place where they could go to get the most up-to-date information. What would you want to see the residents of this community or the listeners to this podcast do to help support your effort?
Peggy, you just did the most important thing that I oftentimes forget, and that's to, you know, you get somebody, you convince them that they're bought into an issue, but then you don't have a call to action for them or something like that. So I am guilty of that. Quick anecdote: I went to and spoke to a group of retirees at Del Webb maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and they asked me for an update on I-73 on the interstate, which I just set a record because I've been speaking with you for maybe 20 minutes and I haven't mentioned I-73. So that's good. Set the timer again. But anyway, so I went to go speak to this group of folks at Del Webb, give them an update on I-73. I had convinced the 100 people that were in that room, this is an amazing idea. We need to do it. Let's go. What can we do to help, Jimmy? And I was like, I don't know. I don't have anything. I didn't think of that. I don't know. I wasn't prepared for that question. So
busy selling them, right?
Right. I was too focused on the sell. No. So as it relates to what your listeners can do to help in these endeavors to create a more positive and pro business climate in the Myrtle Beach area, I think the most immediate thing is to go to fixolreroads.org. And there you're going to see a ton of resources on there about, you know, the different projects that are going to be on the ballot on November 5th. You'll be able to see some of the arguments that we make that you'll be able to talk to your neighbors and share with your neighbor. Hey, did you know that this is not a new tax that's on the ballot? This is just voting to collect to continue to collect an existing tax.
Love that.
You'll
that's
see some
awesome.
Of those, some of those frequently asked questions. You can have some voter resources on there and look at the maps of all the different projects. But then importantly, you can click a button to volunteer. We're going to have volunteer opportunities. If you're able to go knock on doors or you want to put a yard sign in your yard, we have yard signs. If you want to make phone calls to help get out the vote, there's plenty of volunteers that are going to be needed. This thing, a lot of people have been asking me, Jimmy, you know, the previous rides that were on the ballot, the previous penny sales taxes that people voted on in the past couple decades, what did they pass by? And the truth of the matter is they passed by 68% was the most recent one. And the one before that was 66%, I believe. So they passed with pretty broad support. But this one is just way, way too important because it's long and there's so many new voters that we need to speak to. So hopefully by the time folks are listening to this, they'll have seen the billboards that are going to be up throughout Horry County. They'll have seen some of the digital ads that I'm, you know, that are playing before a YouTube video that they're trying to watch or something like that. I don't apologize because this is too important. Just click skip once it allows you to. But no, this is if voters can just go on there and listeners can just go on there to fixoreroads.org, inform yourselves, inform your neighbors and volunteer to help us. This is way too important for us to mess this up.
Well, that's awesome. We will put a link in our show notes for that so that anybody that's listening will also have that opportunity. They can go there on their own, but they'll have a link as well to be able to get involved. And, you know, community is what it's all about. Community is what this podcast is about. It's what you do and focus on every day. And this is a great example of how we can come together as a community and support a long-term initiative that supports public policy that's going to make a change for the better in the coastal area, Horry County, and surrounding areas. So thank you for your leadership on that. And thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so grateful to get the chance to work with you and equally as privileged to be able to get a chance to host you on this podcast. We thank you for what you do each and every day, and we wish you the greatest success, because when you succeed, we all succeed. So thank you.
Well said. Thank you, Peggy. Appreciate you.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I don't know about you, but it was so interesting to hear about all the things that Jimmy is doing to pave the way for our long-term growth in this community. I thought it was really interesting that he is so focused on representing all of the communities across the Grand Strand. He's making a concerted effort to get out and listen to each of the communities and then incorporating those conversations and those areas of opportunity into the 2025 legislative priorities. It's awesome to know that we've got not only Jimmy, but a whole team of people that are working at the local, state, and federal level to represent us and bring some of those dollars back into our community. The other thing I heard that I think we can all go do to support Jimmy is make sure that when we go out to the ballots on 11-5, that you not only vote for your president of choice, but that you also pay attention to this referendum that has to do with Fix Ori Roads. Vote for the penny, and that vote is going to be supportive of all of the efforts that Jimmy and his team are doing to drive the long-term prosperity in the Grand Strand. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you'll tune in next time as we have another guest that's going to be talking about their area of responsibility and how they are fueling our growth. Until then, keep thriving, and thanks so much for joining. So that's all for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. You can find this podcast as well as a transcript of the podcast on Partnership Grand Strand's website, which is partnershipgrandstrand.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll release a new episode every other week, so stay tuned to get that behind-the-scenes info on how we are thriving at the beach and across our entire coastal community. Till next time, keep thriving.